stuff straightened out. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know what? God is way better. Way so much more better to us than we have been to ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, I know you're standing. Thanks again to those that came out and helped us yesterday with our work day. You would not comprehend, probably. Over my head, there's a cover plate that got put onto the top of the ceiling. You would have had to have been here to appreciate what it took to put that thing up there.
That's been that way probably 5 years almost. But that cover plate that was up there, I did not have the core strength to lean from a ladder against this pillar and lean out and screw that in. Brother Joel, that man's been baling hay, working on horses. He could do that. That's crazy.
I don't have time to go into the detail of it, but it was pretty awesome. Amen. We modified the ladder brace to bring it out further. You know, to bring it closer to the... But, look, you see there's no cords hanging outside the baptistry? We have a plug that goes into the wall, and you can't even see it anymore, but that water is warm right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the ladies' room, there's a soap dispenser on the wall. In the men's room, there's a new toilet paper roll. In the classroom, there's... The wall was repaired. You don't understand what it takes to dust one of those trees. Huh? Good. That one too. Praise the Lord. Anyway, you know what? And a lot of other things. They're all little tiny things, but you know what? It all goes towards maintaining the house of the Lord and the work in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, you might not be excited about it, but I am. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 5 is where I'd like to turn your attention. I'll begin there to read with verse 17 down to verse 25. Amen. I'm going to accredit this sermon to my friends that I come to church with. I hear a lot of times John and Douglas and Joel, we ride together many times to church, and we get the small talking. And you know, Satan, the devil, is coming against us. Amen. You'll see in my topic. It's not new. In fact, if you have been living for God for a week or more, you will know what I'm about to speak on today is true. Amen. Let me begin to read, and we'll get into it in just a little bit. 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning there at verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it, and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" You know, he was praying about what he was going to do. I hope you pray about what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal-perazim. And David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images. And David and his men burned them. Got rid of the carnal stuff. Burned it up. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord and said, do you pray about what you do? I hope you do. David did. When David inquired of the Lord, I'm in verse 23, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Here's a simple topic today. The process of victory. Amen. The process of victory. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking even now that, Lord, your will, Lord, would be accomplished in this house. I pray that your quickening, the quickening of the Holy Ghost, Lord, would put words in my mouth. God, that you would open our hearing. Lord, that the example of Scripture, Lord, that your anointing, Lord, would touch our lives today. I pray your hand, Lord, upon your people, Lord, upon me, upon us, Lord, that all that is here, Lord, would be put together by your hand and you would use and talk to and bless and help, Lord, your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul instructed the church at Corinth to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan has been using the same tricks, the same things on people since the Garden of Eden. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Have you learned a little bit about how the enemy comes against you? Have you learned a little bit in your walk with God about Satan's tricks? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the one that's against you, As he really is not, but he tries to act like, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to take you down. The devil wants to stop you from living for God. He is working overtime in our day. I just did the Google thing and looked up some of the statistics of, you know, our world is in trouble. Every day, I looked this up last night. Every day, on average, in the United States of America, 316 people in America are shot in murders, assaults, suicides, suicide attempts, unintentional shootings, and police interventions. 316 people every day in the United States. Every 31 seconds in the United States, someone is arrested for a drug charge. 31 seconds in between them. In 2022, of people that were 18 years of age in the United States, that would be 60.3 million adults in the United States of America, reported binge drinking over the past month. 60.3 million. I don't know if Google's right or not. But that's, you'd probably find the same thing that I did. Young people consume 90% of their alcohol in binge drinking in the United States. That, my friend, is a problem. 50,000 Americans died by suicide in 2023. I'm not talking about ancient statistics. I'm talking about the ones I looked up last night. In 2023, 29% of Americans report having been diagnosed with depression in their lifetime. That is a huge percentage of every adult in America. Our world has real problems. And let's not even really go into or consider the things on the world stage. Our world is in trouble also. Amen. Apostolics are not exempt from the attacks of Satan. Satan wants to attack the child of God. Wants to come against that person living for the Lord. And I know that even godly people are battling daily with oppressive situations, with circumstances that are beyond their control. Now, born again believer in Jesus Christ, if that is you, know this, the devil hates you. The devil hates the child of God. Because you are a child of God, that's why he hates you. Because your life brings glory to God. Because of your commitment to the building of the kingdom of God. The devil hates you. Satan, the devil, he will do everything in his power to cause you to fall, to fail, to lose your faith in God. I've heard this said by preachers, by people that I trust, by elders in my life. If you don't want opposition, don't ever say anything, do anything, or try to become anything in God. One of the people that don't really serve God. You know, they speak a good thing, but they don't really live the right way. Maybe you understand what I'm trying to say. Ain't real. How about that? They come to you and say, "Pastor, the devil has been fighting me big time." I don't think so. You know, your own actions may get you in trouble. Your own addictions may get you in trouble. Your own lifestyle may get you in trouble. But you can't blame that on the devil. Amen. That's your choice. child of God, sister in Jesus, brother in Christ. We have problems too. If you've got problems, and I'm pretty sure there's a few problems sitting right here on the pews in our church. There's at least one or two of you that have had the enemy come against you. In fact, I think more than that. I think there are those that the enemy has come against your family, come against your marriage, come against certainly your children. God is with us, but the enemy is against us. If you've got problems, if you are experiencing spiritual battles, if it's been raging in your life, it could well be because you have attempted to do something in living for God. Amen. Amen. Now, on the surface, what I'm saying might not encourage you. But it is something that I need to say. You need to realize that the enemy is not only coming against you. The enemy is coming against everybody that tries to live for God. The enemy wants to try to get everybody that wants to live for God to stop living for God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah, he takes the throne, the kingdom, following his wicked father Ahaz. Ahaz, man, he was a terrible, ungodly king. You see, he had defamed the house of the Lord. Get this now. He sold the holy vessels that were in the temple, that were used for the worship of God. He took those holy vessels and he sold them to a pagan king. He closed the house of the Lord. By the way, in case you don't know, I'm not in favor of closing the house of the Lord. I am not in favor of shutting church down. Thank you for being here today. Amen. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. But this wicked king, he closed the house of the Lord. He led Israel, God's people, into idolatry. Under the leadership of Ahaz, Israel became financially, spiritually, and militarily bankrupt. He was ruining Israel. But his son, when Hezekiah took the throne, immediately upon taking the throne, upon gaining authority, Hezekiah began right then to lead the people back to God. See, Hezekiah, he repaired the house of the Lord. He put the holy vessels back into the house of the Lord. He built the altar of the Lord and that had been broken down. He built it up again. He commanded the priests and the Levites to sanctify yourselves. As pastor, I'm saying, I'll tell you what, I can't make you holy, but God can. Every one of us needs to sanctify our own self. Amen. We got to do it ourselves. Amen. Hezekiah, he commanded them to sanctify the house of the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord. He declared a fast. He led the nation to repent. He turned them, helped them come back unto God. Israel is restored to God. Hezekiah, He earned a positive report card. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 20 and 21, it says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judea, and wrought that which is good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of the Lord, and in the law and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." Amen. I'll tell you what, living for God is not a part-time job. Living for God is not just once in a while type of thing. Amen. What an awesome testimony to the leadership, to the dedication, to the determination of this King Hezekiah. You see, no king had ever distinguished himself more among the people of God than did Hezekiah. He had accomplished nearly, it seemed like, in all probability, it would have been impossible. But he did it. He did the nearly impossible task of restoring a nation back to God. It is possible. We heard about that at the missions rally. It is possible for God to do a miracle. It is possible for God to build up churches, to bless people, help families. It is possible. Now, his godly accomplishments, although they were very great, is not the end of the story. It never is. You come to God, you have a relationship, you receive power in the Holy Ghost. That's not the end of the story. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, just the very next chapter, verse number 1. After these things, you know, after all that good stuff, after having a good report card, after helping the nation come back to God, after these things, and the establishment thereof, things are going good in the kingdom. People are, again, finding God, serving God, living for the Lord. Things are now going good in the nation. After these things and the establishment thereof, guess what? Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Here comes Sennacherib. Sennacherib was the most feared. He was the most treacherous warrior of his day. Just when Hezekiah and the people of Israel were about to rejoice over their wonderful and great accomplishments for God, the next chapter, verse number 1, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came. You see, almost the moment that everything was smoothed out and things are going back on track, and I've been enjoying coming to church. I've been enjoying praying in the house of the Lord. God's been blessing me, and things are going good. Here comes Sennacherib. Here comes the ungodly guy. Here comes Sennacherib. When they were about to stand back and enjoy their miracle, it was a miracle that God's people turned around. It is a miracle when someone turns their life to Jesus Christ. It is a miracle work of God when you come and worship the Lord. And here comes Sennacherib. When they were about to stand back and enjoy the miracle, there he is, Sennacherib. After a day of prayer and fasting, here comes Sennacherib. They were anxiously anticipating worshiping God in the newly rebuilt house of the Lord. The church is ready to have great church. I'm looking forward to going to church. Here comes Sennacherib. Sennacherib shows up. After they had successfully turned the nation around, there he is. What you may be going through is not new in the kingdom of God. It happened a long time ago. It has happened to others. And it may well be today happening to you. Isn't it amazing? At the very moment when you feel that you have accomplished something for God, right here in our day, right in your life, when you feel like God's doing something in my life, the devil shows up. The enemy shows up. As soon as you begin to pray, when you evangelize, when you give unto the work of the Lord, when you dedicate your life to Jesus, when you take a stand for righteousness, here comes the enemy. When you try to do something significant for the kingdom, it seems that all hell comes against you. Seems like the ungodly gang up on you. It seems like the adversary, the devil, is against you. And he is, by the way. What is the devil's purpose? It's not new. Jesus told about us. Jesus told us about him. John 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," Jesus, "that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." The devil, the adversary, he comes to steal your victory. He wants to steal your commitment. He wants to downplay the accomplishments that you've made in living for God. The devil is not going to just sit around and allow you to accomplish some great thing for the Lord without a fight. The devil is going to fight you. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abram is the topic. Beginning to read at verse number 5 in Genesis chapter 15. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." They're still working on that, by the way. They hadn't figured it out yet. Made some really great inventions. They can look really far now. They still don't know how many there are. They're still trying to figure out how many stars there are. Amen. "If thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Can we believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe what the Word really says? Do you believe that He is the Almighty? Praise God.
Praise God.
Believe Jesus. Jumping down just a few verses, 9 and 10. And he said unto him, get this now. This is a detailed part. Take me an heifer of 3 years old. Very particular. Heifer. And a she-goat of 3 years old. And a ram of 3 years old. And a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. And he laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. So he was doing what it is that the Lord had instructed him to do. He was preparing specifically, exactly. He was doing just very carefully what the Lord had told him to do. I hope you're doing what God wants you to do. I hope you're doing what God has instructed you to do. You see, the Lord, He had very great plans for Abram. He was directing Abram to build an altar and to make a sacrifice upon that altar. And He was telling him what to sacrifice. He was telling him how to divide it upon the altar. God and Abraham were about to enter into a promise, a covenant that would change all of history. God had something very special in mind for Abram. He is directing Abraham to build an altar, to make that sacrifice upon it. He tells him what to sacrifice, how to divide it upon the altar. God and Abraham are entering into a new promise in the history of God. God is about to change His name to Abraham. He gives him the promise to multiply his seed. They will be like the stars in the heavens, the grains of sand upon the seashore. If you can number them, then that is how you'll be blessed. You know what? Our blessings are so great, so multiplied, so many. I can't even count the number of times that God has blessed my life. I don't even know how great the blessings of God have been in my life. I know they're great. I know God's good. But it is beyond my comprehension. Amen. Abraham, he was being very careful. He built the altar just like he was supposed to do. He gathered the proper sacrifices just as he was instructed. He was painstakingly dividing or cutting apart and making the sacrifices just as God had commanded. Placed them there specifically on the altar, just rightly in order and exactly how God wanted it to be. And he stood back and he is ready to offer it unto God. The very next verse, verse number 11. Genesis 15, verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses. You know, these are very precious things. Very specifically placed there in order upon the altar. They have great meaning for the communication and the relationship and between Abram and between God. This is what God told me to give, and here it is. And the enemy calls that precious assortment of sacrifice carcasses. The devil, the enemy, the adversary Those that are out there in the world, they don't understand the relationship between you and God. They don't understand how meaningful your relationship with God is. How meaningful that sacrifice really is. The fowls came down upon the carcasses. Abram drove them away. Chased them off. Get off of my sacrifice. Get away from the things that I've given unto God. You see, as soon as the altar was completed and the sacrifice was laid out there before the Lord, the birds of prey swooped down and tried to take or to steal the sacrifice. The devil wants to steal your sacrifice. You're committing yourself to God. I want to serve the Lord. I want to read my Bible every day. I want to pray and seek His face. The devil wants to keep you from coming to prayer on Monday night. The devil wants to keep you from reading the Bible. The devil wants to keep you from praying at home. The devil wants to keep you from a commitment to God. You see, Abraham, he refused. He would not allow those birds of prey to come down. You're not pecking on my sack. Get out of here, buzzard. Get out of here, bird. Get away from my sacrifice. He refused to let those birds come and take that sacrifice. He picked up a club, a stick, and he beat them birds away. When the enemy tries to steal your sacrifice, and the enemy is going to try to steal your sacrifice, it's not just you, but it's every child of God that is doing something for the Lord. The devil wants to come against what God is doing in your life. Don't stop praying. Pray more. Pray more often. Pray at home. Pray at church. Pray on Monday night. Pray before service. Pray on the way to church. Pray on the way home. Pray on the way to work. When the devil tries to keep you from praying, pray more. Amen. Give more. Work harder. Knock on more doors. Love the Lord your God. Love your family. Love your pastor. Love your church. The devil is lying to you. The devil is trying to keep you down. The devil is trying to take you out. The devil wants to convince you that what you've experienced in God is not real. I tell you what, my friend, what I've experienced here in God is more real than the things out there in the world. The world is going to lie to you. You know, the lady in the advertisement with the slinky dress and the whiskey? That is not the good life. It's a lie from hell. The Marlboro man died of cancer. It's a lie. It's a lie. Satan is selling our world lies. Recognize the tactics of the enemy. Sometimes we have to pick up that spiritual club and beat him with it. Get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, you. Get away from me. Leave my sacrifice alone. Satan, you get away from my children. You get away from my wife. You get away from my home. My God is here to save me. He came to provide me salvation. It's in the Word. I can be saved. I will serve the Lord. I'm not going into it in full detail, but there was one time I was physically attacked by a demon. I mean, he literally grabbed hold of me. I tried to beat him with my Bible. Literally, I grabbed my Bible. Get in Jesus' name. And before I could, from the time it took me to grab my Bible and try to hit that thing, poof, it was gone. Gone! Now, you might think I'm crazy. You must be hallucinating. No, no, no. I went home, looked in, I told my wife what had happened, and she's kind of big-eyed, like, really? I was sitting right here. I didn't see anything. I went home, the privacy of my own bathroom, took my shirt off, and that thing had grabbed my shoulder. It left blood claw marks on the front and the back of my shoulder where it had grabbed me. I said, oh, my goodness. I was attacked by a demon. I must be doing something good for God. Must be doing something right. I tell you what, I am not afraid of the devil. Amen. I have God on my side. Amen. I have nothing to fear. Amen. Pray more, give more, work harder. In our opening text in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. Now, do you think the Philistines were coming to welcome him as a neighboring king? Do you think that the Philistines were coming to give him great gifts? No. You see, the enemy is coming for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy always comes with ill intentions. The devil always wants to tear you down. They were not there to congratulate him. They were there with every intent to destroy David. You know, I have a word. The Bible is really our word. But I've got a word from the Lord. Here it is in the Bible for everyone here today. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No matter what the tricks of Satan is, no matter what the devil tries, no matter his devices, no matter his ways, no matter what weapon that he's brought against you, it shall not prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It's not how good I am. It's how good He is. It's how good God is. God has been better to me than I've been to myself. You have power over the enemy. From the end part of Isaiah 59, verse 19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Go like that. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Yes. Read your Bible. Yes. You need to pray. Yes. Make your way to the house of the Lord. Yes. Believe in Him. Yes. Serve the Lord. Resist the devil. What does that look like? What does that mean? That means don't give in to the lies of Satan. Don't believe his lies. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Quit thinking in both worlds. You got to quit that carnal understanding and trusting in the world and depending upon things in the flesh. And you got to depend upon Jesus Christ. You got to depend on your walk with the Lord. You got to depend on the Lord Most High. You got to depend on what the Word of God says. See, the favorite tactic of the enemy is to strike fear in our hearts. Fear is a very powerful tool. He will plant one little thought or idea in your mind. Now, remember, he is a liar. Satan is a liar. Everything you do, every thought is filtered through that implanted fear that Satan wants to plant in your mind. If you will entertain, if you will contemplate, if you will hold on to, if you will consider and keep the lies that Satan is trying to tell you, then all of the other aspects of your life will be filtered through that lie. Before long, filtering your life through that lie of Satan, it will affect your attitude. It will affect your walk with God. It'll affect your prayer time. It'll affect your coming to church. It'll affect your faithfulness to God. It'll affect your actions and your attitudes. The devil is afraid of us. Remember who you are and what you possess. I have been bought with a price. That verse of scripture right there. I repented of my sins. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. I am a child of God. The devil himself does not have authority over me. I belong to the Most High God. I am His. He purchased me with His own blood. Remember who you are. John chapter 1. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to encourage the men in the Navy. God is with you. You're living in a place that's hard for Christians to live in. But God is with you. Amen. God wants to tear down the marriages in our families. But I tell you, God is with us. God wants to sustain you. God wants to bless you. God wants to take you a mighty long way. God wants to deliver you. God wants your children to be blessed. God wants your home to be blessed. God wants to bless you. Greater is He that is in you. I'll read the whole thing again. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. If the devil could kill you, musicians, come on. In fact, stand up with me. I'm getting ready to close. If the devil could kill you, you would already be dead. If the devil could have killed me, which he cannot, God has made a way to preserve me, to protect me, to keep me, to help me, to preserve me, because I am His. If the devil could kill you, you'd be dead. And I have Bible for that. In addition to personal testimony, God has saved me many times. Preserved me always. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions. And over all, someone say all. Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This verse of Scripture brings with great joy. I used to walk home at night. Well, in Wisconsin, it gets dark really early, right? So it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I just got done sliding. I'm on my way home, walking down the alley. You know, and there was a couple of houses that had German shepherds, and they had these other little tiny dogs that like to bite people. Oh, man, don't let those dogs come out. My Sunday school teacher taught me that verse of Scripture when I was a little kid. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. And I'm going down the alley trying to get home. You know what? God was with me as a little kid trying to get home, and God protected me. I don't know what you're going through today, but all the power of the enemy cannot hurt you. I tell you what, you're going through a trial, there's temptation in your life, you got a situation at hand, right here, right now, God is with you. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus, and I'm not taking time to read the whole scriptural reference, but you may remember it. Mark chapter 5, Jesus cast a legion of devils out of a man. He was a maniac. You know, he'd break the shackles, and everybody was afraid of him. You know, he lived in the tombs, and he was a bad guy. Cast legions of devils out of that man. And they went into a bunch of pigs, swine. And those pigs ran down a steep hill and drowned themselves in the sea. The demons could kill 2,000 pigs, but they could not kill one man. The devil cannot win unless you let him. Take that same man, take that person, baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins, and he receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's filled when he speaks with other tongues, and 10 million demons could not destroy him. There is no power of the enemy that can defeat the child of God that chooses to live for the Lord. Would you join me? Would you choose to live for the Lord today? Would you choose to trust Him? Would you choose to resist the devil? Join me, would you? Would you lift